Alrighty, we're here at the Loving Truth Podcast, and you know, I don't have a special guest with me. I have a special friend with me who's back. Okay, Connor is back. He's been gone for the month of September. They just had baby number three, and he's also served at Grace for going on almost 8 years, and so we gave him a 1 month sabbatical, much deserved time. And so today, first, I want to say welcome back, Connor.
Thank you. It's good to be back. I haven't sat in this room in over a month, so here I am.
I know,
and I'm just happy to be here. Yeah, I don't know. It's good to be back.
Well, when somebody goes on a sabbatical, we do good sabbaticals around here. Like, we want to give people a break and give them a refreshment after serving for a long time, and hopefully recharge and all of that. But they were also on the brink of having this baby, and so I had told, what I tell anybody when they go away, even on vacation, I go, hey, don't contact us. We'll contact you if someone dies. Really, on a serious level, we'll contact you if someone dies. But otherwise, just enjoy the time away. And so Connor and I, there were so many times, you know, that we've actually mentioned this one time, but that there were so many times I wanted to get a hold of you, wanted to call you, wanted to text you. And I'm like, no, let the guy have his time. But you did have the baby. And so one day Angela says to me, hey, we're going over to the Hasses, and we're going to, you know, bring him some stuff and this and that. And I'm like, all right, I'm not supposed to be seeing him, but of course. And I did say, we went out to dinner right before they left, and I said, you are having your baby, so we are going to come see your baby. We're not going to like ignore you. But we did give you like a week. I think it was like a week after the baby was born. So we held out, you know, held off for a while. Anyway, but here's what we're going to do today. Okay. Podcast listeners, I know you're excited that Connor's back. So am I. So I'm just going to ask you questions.
Yep.
We're just going to interview Connor.
That's great.
Some sabbatical thoughts.
Okay.
Number one, what was the thought, and these are just off the top of my head, but I've done sabbaticals in the past, so I kind of have these ideas, but what was your mindset going into it? Like, what were your expectations going into it, thinking this is what it'll be like?
Okay. Yeah. Expectations going in. I don't know if I have a great answer to it. I think I would just say refreshment and rest were the things in my mind. Family time. I got young kids, so to just have time with them, you know, that was probably the main thing in my mind. Just refreshment, chance to rest, chance to kind of detach from the normal, you know, pace, rhythms, be with Emily, have times with the Lord. I didn't go in with any big goals, you know, because I just kind of thought, no, I want this to be a time to just kind of not think that way and just rest. So yeah, I'd say rest. That was what was on my mind. Yeah.
Good. Are there any situations that pop in your mind of like, this was a sweet moment we had that I might not have had if I wasn't in the middle of this? Is anything pop into your head?
Oh, so many. I would think, mainly of just times with my kids every single day without exception. I was just with them, you know, just the first day. I remember it was a Monday. So after Sunday, you know, it's probably 9 a.m. and I just am thinking, okay, this is my life now, you know, let's go out in the street and ride the scooters, you know, Isla and Owen. And, oh my goodness, just amazing. Before the baby came, for those 2 weeks, Em was due at the very beginning of the sabbatical. So we were expecting to have the month with the new baby, but he, Desi, ended up coming kind of like right in the middle. And so we had 2 weeks before with just the older two, which was amazing. And then times when they were maybe napping or even with, you know, maybe parents or something, Em and I were, our neighbors have a pool and they say use it anytime. So we'd sneak over and just do that and hope the baby would come because Em was ready for that. But just amazing. Yeah. Incredible.
Sweet. Give us the specs on Desi. What size, time, location, all that stuff.
7 pounds, 9 ounces, 20 inches long. He was born at 12:42 a.m. So right after midnight on the 13th. September 13th. Yeah. So, yeah.
Just missed one of his grandfather's birthdays. Literally, you know, one day.
You know, September is like a birthday gauntlet in our family. And so we were thinking, is it going to be my brother's birthday, Bailey's birthday, my mom's birthday, all these ones. We didn't consider that Desi would come so late that he'd almost be on Steve's birthday on the 14th. But there you go. So, yeah, Emily was amazing. God blessed that whole process in a lot of ways. So, yeah, just incredible.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Okay, a couple more questions. So are there any insights the Lord revealed maybe in life or in the word that you would be, you know, feel good about sharing? You know, I mean, just how the Lord worked in your heart in this time.
Yeah. Yeah, I think what I'd be thinking to share, can I just mention two things? Is that okay? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, one would be from just from the, I was reading in the prophets for just my Bible reading during the time. And I think especially in Jeremiah, what was standing out was just this desire from the Lord for integrity mm-hmm. with his people, you know, not only leaders, but especially leaders. Because what stands out in Jeremiah as you read is that these people have, you know, a hard heart, or they're not soft toward the Lord. So they're practicing all these kind of external aspects of worship, but then they're getting critiqued for having these kind of these disobedient lives, even while they're trying to worship Yahweh. So the word, you actually encouraged me, Mike, to pick a word going into the sabbatical. And I chose the word whole, it's a whole life, you know, integrated life, who the Lord is, his love for us, that would really just trickle down and impact every part of life. So that was, I just really felt like God met me with the time to read in the prophets. And honestly, I mostly was reading Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel. And all those three long prophetic books have that same theme of, you know, judgment on Israel for that lack of integrity. So that's one thing that stood out, just in terms of something I want to mark, you know, my life, but the life of my family too, and people I care for at the church. Second one, Have you ever read this book? It's called The Return of the Prodigal Son. Laughing. Yeah.
Henry Nouwen?
Yeah. Yes, yeah. Yes. It's a very, it's out there. It's not our normal type of book.
He's a Catholic. But he had good thoughts on Jesus.
Yeah. I read that book and
that is really funny.
Should
we tell them?
Go ahead. Yeah.
Okay. So
I know. Yeah, go ahead.
This is really funny. So
this is
providential.
Yes.
So what happens is I knew Connor was coming back today, and so first I do a video, and then I do my own podcast, and then Connor always joins us in here. So it's the first time he's joined us in a while. And I said to Tanner right before, who's our tech right here sitting with us, and I said, there's this old like drama sketch that was on a reel that basically, you know, a totally different context, but literally this brother of this guy that comes in town and the brother lives with the parents, he starts clapping and saying, "The prodigal son has returned." And it's not like a cool thing necessarily. He's like making fun of his brother. But it was like, so I said to Connor, I go, it's reminding me of like the prodigal son has returned.
As I walked in the office.
But not in that kind of way. It was just funny that popped into my head. And so you read.
That's partly why I was smiling so much when I walked in. Yeah.
So tell us about some highlights of that.
I read a book called The Return of the Prodigal Son. It's actually a book about a painting by Rembrandt, the painting The Prodigal Son. And the painting really impacted this guy's life, and he writes about it. And he writes about the three kind of main, you know, the younger son who went away, the older son and the father, and just kind of share some of the things that have been, you know, that have happened in his life, in his heart, and thinking about each of those characters. And I thought it was a great book. And it really, I would say, I mean, this is, you know, go figure. The main takeaway of the book is the father loves his children. You know, God loves me. He's my father, and I can be safe and satisfied just in his house, receiving his love. And it was a great book. He also talks about how you move through in life in many ways. Kind of, there's aspects in which we can relate with the younger son who went away and the older son who struggles to get on board with the celebration. He's out in the field and he's bitter. But then he's talking about the father, and he says that the call of a Christian is to move toward being able to extend love like the father does too, and kind of be compassionate as our father's compassionate. So super good book. It was impactful at least.
Yeah.
So just really blessed by those things.
That's it. And by the way, I've got one other question for you, but just as an aside comment, I think that, you know, we can learn from almost anyone. We should be able to be humble to learn from almost anyone, but every time the people that we learn from, we don't always agree with. Like Nouwen was a Catholic. He had some deep struggles and some certain sin areas that we brought out after he died. And a lot of Christians like really kind of idolized him in the 90s. He was kind of the darling of a lot of a lot of people reading to read now, and some of these Catholic writers, was like a big deal. But one of my favorite books on ministry was written by him. And the thing is, you have to, there are things in the book that are like inaccurate theologically, like in his other book.
Right. Like this book.
Any of his books.
Yeah.
And, but the thing is, for the mature believer to kind of weed out what's not helpful or what's not accurate biblically and take the nuggets or the kernels, even if he wrote it in a way that maybe we're taking it differently, you know, maybe we're taking it because we're taking it as a regenerated believer in Jesus.
Through.
Right,
yes.
You know,
yes.
But this book, In the Name of Jesus, I think I've given you a copy maybe in the past.
Probably so.
But it's Reflections on Christian Leadership. And the three main points, it's all about Jesus recommissioning Peter. Okay.
Okay.
And it's going from relevance to prayer, going from popularity to ministry, and going from leading to being led. And it's this amazing story. And if you don't have it, you can have this one. It's a new one.
Cool.
But all that to say that I think writers like him, if you read it with a, not a critical eye, but an even-keeled thought process that I'm going to take what's really good in it, because there's some really good messages in there, realizing that the guy wasn't completely on point with all the doctrines of grace and all the doctrines that we would hold dear, biblically speaking, but we can still learn. And I think that's a good thing to remember. Like, we don't take it lock, stock, and barrel. We go, okay, we sift through it and we go, okay.
Right.
And that's whenever I handed this book to someone, I said, now you're not going to agree with everything you read in here.
Yeah.
But take, spit out the bones and take all the meat.
Totally. That's great.
That's cool. I like that.
Yeah.
I like that.
I felt like it was actually almost maybe being away from just the normal life of here, you know, being here on staff. It was like a, to read somebody who's just in a different spot, it was helpful. So, yeah.
And Rembrandt's picture is great. And the things he brings out about the picture and even about the hands and about the eyes.
Yeah.
And, oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
I think looking at old art, old classic art, can be a really... Caravaggio is someone, an Italian painter, that I love his biblical scenes that he painted. When we were in Italy last year, I got to see, I think, two original Caravaggios.
Cool.
And it was one of the highlights of my trip.
That's
like,
cool.
I was just looking at it for like a long time because there's so much depth in there.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Huh.
And again, Caravaggio, you read about his life and you're like, I don't know about that, you know, but you read what he, you see what he painted, and God gave him this gift to depict these biblical scenes with such depth. And it's amazing.
That's cool. I don't even know if I know that name. I don't have to.
Caravaggio.
Caravaggio. Yeah. Okay.
Let's get back to you.
Yes.
Okay. So the last question I want to throw out to you is, and this is, look, I had the privilege, gift from the Lord to take a sabbatical in the year 2000. It was the first time I took one at my former church. I got to take one in 06 at my former church. And then I got to take one in 16 at Grace and in 24 at Grace. And I could have taken it earlier. You know, the policy is every 7 years and every 5 years subsequent, but you know, I don't do it on clockwork, but every time I've done something like this, and this is what I want to ask you, is what will change going forward? Or what do you anticipate changing going forward? Or is there anything that you've already said, okay, I'm going to do this differently? Because I find that there's been at least one thing every time I've done something like this where I'm like, this is going to be different. And it becomes a part of my life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a really good question. I don't have yet, and it could surface. I haven't, you know, kind of drilled down to, okay, are there any like rhythm changes or a new, I know you've talked about, you know, taking the time in the afternoon to pray and to like, that was, I think it was 2016, right? When you started to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right.
Doing that in the afternoon. So I don't know. I'm curious if I have, you know, something that will kind of come to the surface in terms of a change like that. More conceptually, I think what will stick with me is really that sense of just serving in the church, serving Jesus, you know, really with this, maybe I'll just say a renewed sense of the Father's love. And that'd be just from that book, you know, like I was just talking about, but just of God's love for me and just having a real, like really in disciplines, you know, kind of pursuing just an enjoyment of that, a gratitude, a trust, and then letting love, you know, for others be the thing that then flows out of that. So not that, you know, if you'd asked me if I, you know, a month ago, if that was happening in my life, I would have said, well, of course, you know, but I just think it was deepened and it was renewed you know, over the last month. So I'm excited to, I'm actually really excited to kind of come back into things at Grace and see how that renewal might be an encouragement.
Awesome.
Yeah, I'm excited for that.
Those are some good thoughts. I really appreciate you sharing that. And if we can, let's just do this. I'm going to close by saying this to our listeners. I want to encourage you to, you know, I was reading earlier today in Psalm 37 and was talking about resting in the Lord and waiting patiently for him. But the whole idea of encouraging the believer, however you can get there, to rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Because a lot of times we just want to run and get whatever we need to get, you know, and it's like, that's not the life that God truly prepares for us. I think that there's plenty of times we have to just take quick action and go. That's not what I'm saying. But rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him is just such a sweet thought, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And I would just say to our listeners, think through that, how you can do that, how you can trust in the Lord and do good, how you can delight yourself in the Lord, how you commit your way to the Lord, trust in him and he will act, and just literally rest in the knowledge of his love, rest in the grace and the mercy of God in Christ. Take some time today, and it might be 15 minutes, might be an hour, but take some time and enjoy the Lord. I think we need times like that every day. Hmm. I really do. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Any last thoughts, Connor?
No, it's great. I think maybe one thing to just say in response to that, and then that'd be it from me, but at many points throughout the last month, I just in having times with my kids, especially, or with Emily, but yeah, conversation with Emily too. I think it really dawned on me how often I'm almost in this mode of there has to be utility to this. You know, this conversation has to have a purpose, or I'm with my kids, but what's coming next? What are we getting ready for bed? Are we getting ready for naps? Are we getting ready to get to the park? Are we, whatever it is, you know? And there were moments when I think I just kind of tried to shut that off and was just like, I just get to hold my newborn son right now and just, you know, be with him. Or I just get to play in the toy kitchen with Isla and just not have any rush about it, you know? And that's not, I mean, it's a unique time in life to be able to do that like I did this last month. But I think that flows from that. Yeah. That enjoyment of God himself first, yes. You know, just knowing like yes. he loves me. My life doesn't have to be this big, constant mission, you know, to accomplish the next thing.
Right.
I just walk with him, you know, and then these things kind of flow out of that. So, yeah.
All right.
Thanks,
praise
Mike.
God. Praise God. All right. Well, good to have you back. And listeners, thanks for joining us today. And hope you have a great week. Hope you rest in the Lord. Be still, even as Psalm 37:7 says, be still before the Lord, or rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. I hope you can take some moments and really enjoy the Lord Jesus today and enjoy the triune God today. And thanks so much for joining us today. And we'll see you next time on the podcast.